Welcome, citizens. You're listening to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Here, thinkers and doers always have a key to the city. The mayor is in, so office hours start now.
Another week, another episode of New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Flobo Boys, the mayor in the mayor's office. And as I record this, I just got back in from a trip to New York. New York City, baby. It wasn't that crazy. It was a chance for me to witness a wedding of a good high school friend of mine. And for a couple of days, get to hang around with my parents. As they get older, I like to cherish my time with them. It's July 4th. As I record this intro for this week's episode, and there may be some fireworks going off in the distance, but I realize how important travel is. You know, when I was a kid, these holidays were a big deal. You know, mom and dad would at least take us out to cook out or try to do something on the grill. But here I am this year flying out from my parents' house on a holiday to be here with you in the mayor's office. And it just kind of puts it in perspective the beauty of travel and how we associate certain experiences with those travel experiences. In fact, my guest this week, Mara Thomas, works with Delta as a senior manager of global internal events and conferences. So it's kind of cool to see her perspective of planning parties, something I'm familiar with as a DJ, but inside the corporate space. But before I get to all that, some housekeeping, newamsterdam.com, KNAWAmsterdam.com. That's where you want to know more about the brand and the site. Go ahead and do that. Social media at New Amsterdam on that Instagram. And of course, we are a proud supporter of the Orlando Aces Florida Grid team. As of this recording, they just had their first matchup. They are undefeated, 1-0. And I like to say that was part of the New Amsterdam effect. And this episode and all the other episodes brought to you part by SeatGeek. Use promo code FLOBITO, that's FLOBITO, for $20 off your first order. I'm talking about tickets to concerts, sporting events, and more. Use SeatGeek promo code FLOBITO for that discount. Okay, that's all out the way. Hope your holiday was great. I got some ribs myself from the grocery store on the way home from the airport. But enough about that. It's now time for my chat with Mara Thomas. Welcome back to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives, thinkers, and doers. It is I, the mayor, Flobo Boys, in the mayor's office, and I'm the mayor forever. There's no elections. It's just the way it's going to be. But it's not about me this time. I'm hanging with someone that has way more slash. We're talking about instructor. We're talking about someone that makes events pop. Please get it from Mara Thomas. How's it going, ma'am?
It is going well. Thank you for having me on the show today. We have that West Coast, East Coast vibe. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. Are you a California original?
I am not an original, but I came about a decade ago and it was hard for me to leave.
Okay.
Meet the weather, but Atlanta has some fun and exciting things going on. So I packed myself up and came back east. I'm originally from the East Coast.
Okay. Well, can I ask what part?
I am from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh, yes, PA.
Yes, a Steeler fan. We can just get it out of the way now.
I hear you. No, I'm actually from New York, but I'm a Texans fan. So it's kind of funny how like the...
It's a I always find that funny. Yeah, I have a friend who grew up in Pittsburgh, and I have known her literally for 20 years, and she lives in California, and I found out she was a Cowboys fan, and I was like, what is wrong?
Oh, that to me does not work. It's like meeting Yankee fans. Like, you're into brands. I don't like it at all. How was life in Atlanta? We were talking this before we went live. I've never been there before, but sometimes I hear it's like a giant metropolis in the southeast United States. Sometimes I hear it's a small town. I hear it's a big town. What's been your vibe since moving out there?
So, you know, the one thing that there are a couple things I really love about Atlanta. So Atlanta it's a city, but it's a small city. We're both from really big places. I mean, LA has what, like 8 million and change, and New York has probably 10 million and change. They have a little under a million, but they have a great vibe here. They've got really great food, really great diversity. And I actually live in an area, I live in Old Fourth Ward, but I live right off the Beltline. And you'd be amazed at like the greenery. So it's like walking in Central Park every day.
Okay.
They've got a lot of trees. It's, you know, really great. And not being difficult, but like Atlanta is the best airport. So even if you are in Atlanta, you can get everywhere from here.
I've only been to Atlanta by the airport once. I haven't been to the city. I transferred out there once.
Yeah, you'll have to definitely come. They've got a great vibe, but like I said, great foodie town. You can live right. I mean, I live in the heart of the city.
Yeah. Okay. And it's
very walkable.
Well, I'm going to try for this award-winning transition. So I'm a big baseball fan, and so I'll make it out to Atlanta at some point to see, unfortunately, the Atlanta Braves, because I'm a Mets fan. But I do know the official airline, the New York Mets, is Delta. And that is a brand you work lockstep with. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I have the great privilege of working for Delta Airlines. Last year, they created a center of excellence around their global events. They brought kind of their consumer focus and their employee focus. One of the things that I love that Delta does is they treat their employees like customers because they're their best customers. And when you meet people, like I joke, you get, as part of a perk, you get free flights. But when I roll up to free flights, I'm always next to the guy who literally has worked for Delta as long as I've been alive. He'll just like look at my thing and go, so you're probably not getting on this flight. Just go with it.
It's but, an inner circle.
Yeah. You listen to people talk about it and it is like a lifelong, they came here and they are never going to leave. And so it's really crazy to me, but like I've met such great people through this, but I've also met great vendors who are like, I love working with Delta. I love partnering with them. And so it helps in that other phase where I work on a lot of nonprofit and I work on a lot of private events around mm-hmm. it. So I've been really able to, even though I've only lived here a year, got a lot of great contacts just because I've worked for a brand that people respect and know.
So as of right now, your title is Senior Manager, Global Internal Events and Conferences, which mm-hmm. sounds pretty like. So I really can't compare, but my dad worked for the Metropolitan Transit Authority, the train stations, train lines in New York, and it's also an transportation thing. The reason I ask you this is that all the years he's worked there, no one ever thanks him because if a train breaks down, you get those complaints. Delta's been around for a long time. Everyone has a Delta story. It's almost never positive for the traveler's sense of point of view. How's that been like on your end? Is working with a brand you love so much, but definitely has some, you know, situations where it cannot be seen in the best light.
Well, I'll tell you a funny thing that I really love about this company. So the CEO is Ed Bastian. He actually won CEO of the year this year. And if you've ever been on a plane with him, he actually doesn't sit in first class. He actually sits in Comfort Plus, which is the next level down. But he sits with folks. And it's kind of funny if you've ever been on the plane with him because people will look at him on the screen, look over at him, look back at the screen and be like, well, it is a really hard business because people don't care about you till they need you, right? Mm-hmm. So we're connectors. Like it isn't really about transportation. We're connecting people, right? So we're literally connecting you to friends, to family, to work, to your livelihood. And when that gets messed up, it is a very stressful thing. I joke to everyone about going to the airport. The airport makes anybody lose their mind because either we are taking over control, meaning you don't have control over anything, or you just lose your mind and you can't figure out how to do.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely right. I'm like, I got to wear these shoes for the airport. You're like, why? You don't understand.
I do not. When I see people in front of me with like boots on that have straps, I'm like, who are you and how are you getting through this line?
I totally understand that.
But it is true. Like your dad's role was so important. It's almost non-existent, right? Until something's wrong. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, you've messed up my whole day. What's going to happen? But you trust that it's going to work. So his is sort of like that invisible job. Like our thank you is that you just go on your way and you get to where you're going.
Sure.
And on those days where there are days we mess up, we don't get you where you need to go. We had somebody a couple of weeks ago whose wheelchair got damaged. And then when you get to your location, you don't have something you need. And the one thing that I do love about Delta is they own up to that. And I think that's what makes their brand really good. They own up to that. So, you know, I guess you'll take the 10,000 complaints because there are 5 million people who didn't complain and they got to where they go. We have what, I think 4,400 planes in the air every day.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want that job at all.
I'm with you. Now, Jay Barrett has a thing about hugging your haters, those that are advocates or that care about the brand or are allowed to dissent. So I'm totally with that. But let's talk about event planning and event production, because my day job, which is kind of ironic because it's night and weekends, I am a wedding DJ. I work the parties for people. They say, all right, time to drop Uptown Funk for the billionth time this week. Anyway, it's a lot of coordinated effort to get vendors happening to make this event special, but that's a very small scale. But what you're doing is something massive. So talk to me about that path going into that, and what's that like for you?
You know, it's funny because I tell people all the time I could never do a wedding. Like, I just don't, I don't got it in me. I don't.
No, me neither.
You know, there are days you're just like, because it is so personal, right? Like, it's that one time you've got to have the perfect dress. Like you said, you got to have the perfect song to dance to. You got to have the perfect cake. And imagine that times 15 stakeholders who all feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know, and so just really getting people there, getting them in place. And, you know, it's funny, I don't go for perfection. I just go for progress. And, you know, there are a lot of times we are holding stuff together with duct tape and a stapler, or you went down this path and it doesn't really look like it's going to work out. So you pivot a lot. And this is really where I find some of my best relationships have come with from my vendors, because if you cannot rely on the person to provide the services that they said that they were going to provide, it is the most stressful thing. And I think, you know, that, like, you know, a DJ's 20 minutes late and you're sweating bullets because you're like,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. I usually show up early because I'm like, what are you doing here? It's like, because you don't have to worry about me. Because I know you have a reputation of being kind of absent-minded when it comes to that sort of thing.
Well, and I tell people all the time, like, it's, you know, I've had a couple of freelance interns that have worked for me. And I was like, if you do nothing, show up on time. Showing up on time is late. So show up early. Yeah. Because even if you can play on your phone, play on your phone for 20 minutes. But I do love it. Like, we have, this is a great time to be in events, because through the pandemic, people miss that connection. And yes, we have hybrid stuff. We've got Zoom, we've got all of that. But I think nothing is better than human connection. I think you said that you were a comedian. And while you can do stuff on video and you can do things on Zoom, I think the interaction with the crowd and to play off them and to see faces and see if a joke is hit or if something else is done, nothing is better than in person.
1,000%. I think, yeah, I did the Zoom comedy thing and I said, I've done it. So, but it's not the same. From the outside looking in, though, when I hear about the title or read your title, I go, well, like, what, quarterly reports? But I know there's more to that. Like, what exactly comes under your desk, your breadth of responsibilities when it comes to the types of events you manage?
So we do a little bit of everything. Delta really takes pride in their employees, so we do a lot for their employees. So we do everything from a leadership event where we bring 6,000 leaders to Atlanta. That's how many people manage people at Delta. And they have so many partners like KLM, Air France, and we bring them in and really help them understand the business strategy around it. You know, we joke about it just being travel, but it isn't. It's about connection, right?
Right.
We do a lot of stuff getting people to and from, getting packages to and from, getting people and things everywhere. So I think really understanding that model and making sure people are there. Also, too, we do things like we do employee appreciation. So I really love Delta does the coolest thing for Valentine's Day. That's their employee appreciation day. They make you feel loved. Gotta love that.
That's what I'm saying. How do you hate a holiday about love, y'all? And I'm
you gotta love that. We also do reward and recognition. They have a program that they recognize 100 people out of 90,000 for being the difference at Delta for things that they've done. So, you know, we do those kind of programs too. We literally closed down our parking lot for 25,000 people and do a concert. So we had a Zac Brown concert last year and we brought folks in. We did, and we're probably going to do it again this year or in 2024, we did a Team USA delivery plane. So the plane that we actually take all the athletes on, we actually brought it in and unveiled it to our employees.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, you had to be a Zac Brown, but that chicken from.
I will say, wasn't a fan until I met him. He can do it. He has a wide range. He even did a Ludacris song. I was like, can you really do that?
Wow.
So he rocks it.
Wow. You know? Yeah, respect. Well, yeah. Shifting gears a bit. I mean, you in your career, you have amassed a unlimited source of knowledge, but you decided not to keep it for yourself. I mean, you're also an instructor as well, working with University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA. I guess that's the Bruins, right? I don't know. Whoever's paying me, I'll support. But what made you decide to go and teach the game? I guess what made you decide to say that's the next chapter for my career professionally?
Well, you know, I tell people all the time, when I started doing events, I totally got into it by accident. I'm a physician assistant in real life.
Okay.
But once I did it, I was like, ooh, this is people contact. I don't really love that. I thought I'd be a pharmaceutical rep. And when I went to do that, the company that I went to, they were like, we have a great job for you. They put me in marketing.
Oh.
So, I mean, I started out there. So it really wasn't, I learned by experience. Now with strategy being such a huge thing and teaching folks the communication wave and strategy wave and how events fit into that, it makes sense at a college level that you want to teach students that. Because it really is, it's a PR play. Events are a PR play. It's a sales play. It's a reward and recognition play. So I think if folks understand how to plan and execute a great event or experience, you know, and especially right now, because the generation today, they love experiences.
Absolutely.
You know, give that a look at how great Airbnb was for a while, because who thought that you'd ever want to stay in a treehouse and do things related to staying in a treehouse? Or you want to do one-off, we were just laughing because I live right near a cemetery and they actually have a old spirits tour where you can go in and drink bourbon and they tell ghost stories, but it's an experience. And I think that's sort of where we are today, but you use it for business.
What, you live next to a graveyard? Is that kind of creepy at all? No?
Like I said, I live in a city.
All right. Hey.
And the best is best architecture and best trees.
Yeah, it's all a ploy. Keep driving. Don't.
Well, I had a friend, we went somewhere and there's a bar across the street. Okay. And she just finally got the name of the bar 6 feet under and it just clicked with her.
That would freak me out. I'll be sitting with like the whiskey in hand going, oh dear Lord, we have to get out of here.
Yeah, they have, if you ever want to come to Atlanta, they have, over Halloween, they have the same kind of tour. It seems that they get lines out the cemetery. It's kind of crazy.
Wow. Okay. I think you've oversold it. I was going to Atlanta, but I'm not sure.
Now you're just going to stay at the airport. That's all you're doing.
Come and get me, yes. So when it comes to making an event, I know I can have a house party today or tomorrow, and that's kind of like, hey, guys, come over, there's a game or whatever. But when you're doing something, especially at that scale, there's a lot of stakeholders. Sales guys want this, design wants this. There's always a bean counter, be like, can we do this for cheaper? What's really like the science of making sure you hit your objectives, that everyone's okay or satisfied or compromised, and do it in a way that they can repeat it for events on the line?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think when you are doing events, you don't just think about the event you're doing today. You think about scalability, right? It's just like when you want to make a business, like you can make 50 cookies a day and sell them. You don't want to promise 50,000 because scaling that and what that takes to do it is much larger. It is always funny. I joke all the time. People have caviar dreams and, you know, oyster cracker budget. And that money always plays a huge role in everything, because while you may want shiny new, you might not be able to afford shiny new. So I think you always try to get down to what does success look like for everybody? Okay. Is it that people walk away with something, that people had time to network or chit chat? I was laughing because we were talking about weddings. I just went to a wedding and I struggle when I go to things because I'm like, Mar, just it's okay. That tablecloth is on upside down, but it doesn't matter because it's not your event. You don't care.
Right.
And then I'm like, deep down, can I take this tablecloth off before anybody sees it? Not my thing. But I always laugh because people try to fit so much stuff into an event or into a moment in time, and they lose so much stuff because you don't see half the stuff that they thought was sentimental or great. So, you know, it's funny. We've now coined it as an Instagram moment. Mm-hmm. I think if you can walk away with one or two moments that everybody remembers. And I think you see that in weddings too. Like, people will remember this or they will remember that. Like, but the rest of the night might have been a blur. And I think that's how we look at it as events. I think if people walk away and they remember one thing, I did an event a while ago, and we joke because it was with Jennifer Hudson, and she sang him happy birthday on his phone. And I think literally for 3 years, anytime he had to have his phone changed, she would like bring it to me at work and be like, can you put this on my new phone? I was like, can you put this in the cloud? Because
That's pretty cool.
Take this at any time.
You are so right. Well, not about Jennifer Hudson. I mean, that's cool. But you're so right about not being able to enjoy them anymore. Because I'll sit there and be like, that guy is wearing a shirt that doesn't match his pants. And he plays Skrillex next to Earth, Wind, and Fire. I can't.
He's like, how did he not blend that? It's a dead stop. I don't understand. How did he let them play certain songs? Like, I'm sure you get lists where people are like, this song cannot be played.
Oh, yeah.
This was her ex and hers. You know, like, there are certain ones you're like, how are you playing? This is not allowed at a wedding. Why are you?
And there's songs that like sound happy but depressing, like Hey Ya. It's literally about a guy who's in a bad relationship, but I'll play it at weddings. Okay, no problem.
That is so true. I never thought about that. I think there was a Boyz II Men song that was like a big prom song, but it was a really sad, is it End of the Road?
Pretty much, yeah.
That song.
It's like, hey, whatever the check cleared, let's do it. But speaking of checks, you were one of the creative forces behind Budget Game and also financial literacy programs for the youth. And really, you love teaching the kids. Like, what is up the next generation of making sure they are financially equipped to handle what life comes throws at them?
Well, I think right now we are seeing more than anything that there is a generational wealth gap. It is, and I would honestly say it's a horrible phrase, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, but that is exactly what's happening. The gap is getting bigger. And when you realize that there are just some systemic things that happen or that just go on in cultures of like economic cultures that really stop people from having wealth or having, I call it stability, if for anything else. And sure. One of the things I'm really loving right now is there are some states that are taking personal finance into their own hands. And they're saying, listen, we can teach kids math and science and English, but at the end of the day, if we don't teach them about their money, that we have failed in such a big way. And so being able to be part of the state of New Jersey really started this, and being able to provide schools with the ability to show kids how interest works, to mm-hmm. show them how, if you save this today, what does that look like 30 years from now? Mm-hmm. How to even pay something early and understand accrued interest. And you can gamify that. You know, I don't love budgets any more than the next person. We all know that, like, the days of balancing your check. It took me 3 weeks last week to find my checks in general. So that, I was like, I needed it for something to write somebody a check. And I was like, I don't know where these are. And it probably has 7 addresses ago because they gave me 100 and I don't
know. Yeah, same here.
That works. But so really trying to figure out how you can build on teaching them how to be smart with their money. Not how to make more, but how to be smart with what you already have.
Yeah.
And it's just a fact. People know very little about their money. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you allow other people to tell you about it, they're telling you what they want you to know. So I think really making sure you understand it and getting it to them before they go on to their next chapter, their adult chapter, whether that's college or going out in the workforce. I think I remember the first time I got a check and I'm like, who are all these people? Why are they taking all this money? And why? They told me I was making X amount of dollars and I'm not even making like half that.
No, you'll see like the strategies that people employ when they're not formally educated. Because I got lucky. So I went to school in New York City, and we had what was called the house program. Basically, it's like majors. And so my major was finance, and they put me in a finance course or whatever. But you'll notice people who don't have that training, not to throw shade at anybody, but they'll use like very like stark experiences. My mom did this, so I'm doing this. And that to me is that is the best strategy, but you don't know all the tools you have at your disposal. So I saw that. I'll go, yeah, that's right. Teach the kids, y'all. That's mm-hmm. what we need. There's more things going on.
Well,
we're
in a weird time now because, you know, I think I was an adult before I really understood designer brands and sort of what was considered luxury items. Kids see that much earlier. I mean, I joke and it shows my age totally. There's no way I could be responsible for $1,000 iPhone when I was 15.
Nope.
I could barely find my backpack 2 of the 5 days for school.
No, you're not wrong. Not
give me $1,000 iPhone. So I think that's where it's just a difference with that. And if they want to do things and grow their money, they have to be able to do that. I laugh because some of the things that we were teaching them were gamified were really cool. Like if you pay your car payment 13 days early, you pay it off a year early.
Yeah.
It's like crazy. And you're like, that's not even doing anything different. That's just reminding yourself to pay it 13 days early.
That's so great. So yeah, between that and the daytime responsibilities and being on the advisory board of Gig Out, that app for creatives, where do you find the time to do all of this stuff and sleep?
You know, sleep is very elusive.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It really is. It's very, well, and I hope that you go on and you do Gig Out. It's really meant for creatives. You know, LinkedIn has held the market for a really long time. But if you are somebody who does visual or audio or anything creative, people can't really find your portfolio on something like a LinkedIn. And with Gig Out, you're able to make videos. You're able to actually put your trade out there. We've had a couple of people get hired at Disney and Netflix and Sony, because I think it's a really hard, we all know paper's flat. So if you're trying to explain to somebody what you do on a flat piece of paper, it's really hard, especially if what you do is very visual or auditory.
Right. You're not wrong. I always ask a lot of our guests, what do you describe yourself doing? And it's like, I got so many slashes, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's a great thing about where we are today. I want to say like that you can find paths of what you do, but I really think you just kind of fall into things and you like it or you don't like it. And you move to the next thing and you like it or you don't like it. And then sooner or later, you kind of find your niche.
Right.
But you know, I love the people who knew they wanted to be a doctor at like 7.
As rare as they are. So you get up in the morning and you take like time out the day and say, I'm working on the Gig Out responsibilities I'm teaching now, or is it kind of like whatever, each day is different? Like how do you juggle all that stuff?
I would love to say that I'm not a planner, but I am a planner through and through. I think you gotta schedule the time. And it's funny, we were laughing because I said to my students last week, procrastination is prioritization. And one of my students said, well, what do you mean? I go, when you procrastinate on something, you're basically saying that it's not a priority to you. There are other things you would prefer to do. And, you know, it's sort of like when somebody doesn't give, somebody doesn't give you a response. No is a response.
True.
You know? And he was like, but I just procrastinate. I go, yeah, because you don't like that task. And it's not a priority to you. So I think when I make commitments to folks, I really try to prioritize. And there are a lot of things people come to me and ask me, you know, you have a whole bunch of different gigs and, you know, you've got to put time in to travel to them, to get set for them, to do all that stuff. And that may mean that you have to say no to something else.
Yeah. Is there an app, if you want to name it, that looks really been helpful for organizing your time or scheduling?
You know, there's a couple of them that I use. I actually use a digital planner it's called AllPlan. I actually do an iPad planner.
Oh, wow.
I'm a doodler. Like if I write it down, I remember. But the nice thing that I like about it, that and like a Rocket Book will really, you can PDF it and I can go back. Because a lot of the things I do, some of it are the same. So you can go back and look at notes. So I really do kind of like that. You know, I'm an old fashioned girl. Microsoft Outlook has so much stuff, and same with 365. They have now an AI product that's a Copilot.
Okay.
So it can really help you with like presentations and just kind of putting it all in one place. So where something might used to take me like 3 hours, it takes me like 15 minutes to do.
Yeah, they're not a sponsor, but I feel like Microsoft really set up their game. I used to do myself their app, yeah. To-do lists or what have you. But before we wind this down, there's a couple of questions I ask every guest on the show. Kind of, I won't say a lightning round. Can you take as much time as you want?
Let not me know really, but yes.
Not really, but yes. So as a creator, as a thing, as a doer, I got to ask you, what is your favorite junk food? Like, how do you get that fuel from all those empty calories? What is your favorite
junk food? My favorite junk food is I will always be a cake and cookie girl. And crazy, like, just excitement sometimes that I have, old school Little Debbie's.
Oh, which one?
I really like the little zebra cakes.
Oh, zebra cakes, yes! Oh, my favorite. Those are my favorite.
When I see them in like Kroger's here, I'm like, yeah. Can I buy 7 boxes without someone going, where are you taking those?
Yo, shout out to Little Debbie. What do you do on the day off if you so believe in those? You believe in days off?
Yeah, I do believe in days off. I think you gotta do things and connect with people that to really make your life kind of go with it. And I am a big believer of being outside. That's why living in LA was great, because 90% of the time you can be outside. Atlanta, it's hot as all get out, but you could still be outside. And then just doing stuff. I think, you know, I'm a, you know, love my neighborhood, love being outside, getting to know my neighborhood. And deep down, I also foster and rescue dogs. I got a little English bulldog next to me. I'm shocked he hasn't popped in to say hello to you, because he can hear your voice. He's like at attention, like, is it my turn to talk yet?
Right. So. Props to advocating going outside, being by a cemetery. That would freak me out. I would close all windows and doors if I...
I'm going to send you pictures, because I will say this much. You know, how much money people spend in life is probably just about as much money some people spend in debt. They have beautiful architecture, and I'm like, okay, you built yourself a little house in the cemetery. That's awesome.
I'm just a fraidy cat. I got two more for you. Everyone collects something. What do you collect?
Oh, that is so funny. I collect wine corks.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So anytime I go somewhere and it's a special occasion, we have bottled wine, everybody signs the cork.
Yeah. What's your style, favorite style, I guess?
I like blended reds. Still, Orange Swift is probably one of my favorite wines in California. It's a blended red. You can drink it anytime you want. And he has, again, I love the quirky stories. He has a fun, quirky wine story. So, you know, that's sort of my thing. I always like to, random two sisters making wine. Like, I like the quirky stories, not the big box places, but the kind of cool. Why did absolutely. You get into that?
Yeah, absolutely. I like how you put wine in box in the same sentence, because the best wines come in a box. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, and you know what we have found out, like with the Trader Joe's and the $2 chuck, I think if you put a label on anything, people might think it's good.
Oh, yeah. I made the mistake. Like, figure out how a hot dog was made, no big deal. Figure out how $2 chuck was made was just so harrowing. Just like, what am I doing? I
got again, it's right up there with the Little Debbie, where I'm like, I'm not quite sure what's in this, but you seem to figure out the ingredients. I'm going to go.
I got one more for you. What is on your travel bucket list?
Oh, wow. You know, this is a cool thing, only because obviously I work for Delta and it makes it a little easier. But in a couple of weeks, I'm going to go to Cuba.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
Drink a little rum.
Yeah. Is it like an R&R trip?
Yeah. It's not a work trip. It's just, we just started flights to Cuba. And so I'm super excited because I'm actually going on a food tour. And the really cool thing is, these food tours aren't like in restaurants. They're actually like in people's houses.
I believe that.
And I'm super excited, you know, the authenticity of the food, but just hearing the stories and different things like that. But I can't wait to have the rum and meet a ton of people.
Personal question. Is it like only you're cleared, or can you bring family members? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, it's not a bad gig. I mean, it is not a, we were just laughing. I went to France a couple of weeks ago and even got Delta One.
Wow.
For 24 hours.
France is one of those places where it's like, oh, I wouldn't go. Oh, a free flight to France? Oh,
Well, and I do think there are so many great places. Like, I still want to do, we have a flight to Cape Town.
Oh, wow.
It's a long flight, but would love to go. You know, maybe it's not something you would pay a couple of thousands of dollars to go to on a flight, but it's something different. Also, too, I love that you can get to a ton of places in South and Central America from the U.S. really quickly. There's a lot of, like, even great places in the U.S. to go to that you didn't even think about. But, yeah, Cuba is – I'm pretty excited. But usually what excites me is, like, the food and beverage. I'm like, so what are we eating and what are we drinking?
Yeah, I'm totally with that too. Like, for me, it's like, where can I walk? Like, the more walkable the city is, I'm like, wow, you know what I mean? I was just in Arlington this week, and I was like, well, I'm gonna rent a car, that's fine. You know, I mean, it wasn't the same. Like, Dallas is okay proper, but Arlington was like, you gotta have a car. So
yeah, well, and Dallas is one of those things where they built a city and then the next city and then the next city and then the next city
on the chain.
Yeah.
So one more question about that, though. Like, when you fly with Delta for any kind of trip like that, does it have to be Delta proper, or do you can code share as well?
You can do a couple of different things. Like, you can, like, there are sometimes Southwest folks can fly on ours if they have to go somewhere. We do like that whole, we do all that whole, like, partnering. Mm-hmm. The really cool thing is we have an incredible international alliance, so you can get to a lot of great places. Like, KLM will get you to from Amsterdam to the rest of the world that KLM serves. Air France, like, we can get you to Paris, but Air France can get you to Nice and to Bordeaux and that kind of thing. Same with Virgin Atlantic can get you to London or to Australia, depending on where you'd like to go. That's what I do love about it. And it's relatively simple to book the next leg if you don't want to go to a major city. I'm like you. I'm all about the walkability. So I'm just going to stay here because those other places seem small. I'm just going to stay right here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. As Rick Ross once said, sipping Bordeaux out in Bordeaux. That's what I want to do right now. This has been so much fun, Mara. I just been hanging out, talking with you, learning about your expertise. If anyone wanted to connect with you, follow you online, ask you questions, how they go about doing that?
They can reach out to me via LinkedIn. It's usually the easiest way you can find me because I'm actually the only Mara that's spelled with an H. And would love to connect with them. Like I said, the world of events and experience is a very big place. So the more connections you can have, the better.
Shout out to Sky Team. Look at how many airlines are part of this. I'm totally looking at my notes at the time we're doing the show. My mind is open.
Not a bad deal. There's a reason why they get to be the best airlines. They really figured out that part. Well, and now that you get free Wi-Fi, it's game over.
Oh yeah. I was on a flight, I won't say with whom, and I was like, you know what? It's 2023. It's high time I could communicate.
It's like game over. I'm like, I got all my devices on. I'm messaging people.
There you have it, Mara Thomas. A fantastic. I want you back on a future episode. Hopefully we can do that.
Definitely.
This, talk game and talk shop. But this is New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to New Amsterdam Radio. Learn more about the show at newamsterdam.com. That's KNEW Amsterdam.com. Until next time, this city is yours.